Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, staying focused on that that He would have us, the knowledge He would have us possess, especially the Acts of the Apostles showing how a Christian should act, how that we should be alert and aware, rightly dividing this Word of God. Now, Paul has just been stoned, and they were all circled around him, and it would appear he was dead. And now you can better understand, however, knowing that Barnabas and Paul were on a mission that was ordered by the Holy Spirit, meaning man had nothing to do with it. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, send them, and named them even, and sent them on this mission. And they've had quite a circuit in teaching the Word of God. But here you can better understand, knowing the Holy Spirit is present, of how Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about he knew a man once, and he was speaking of himself in the third party. I knew a man once, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I know he was sent to the third heaven. And he knew everything. And then, naturally, the Father returned him, because he has work to do. He still must write a large part of this New Testament. And the Holy Spirit would return him, and he would have a thorn in his flesh. And there would be a wicked spirit that would always like to tempt him. That's Satan, and certainly he gains no ground with this one Paul. He was a tough hombre, and he stayed focused on God's Word. But there he was taken, I want to reemphasize, to the third heaven age and showing what happens there. We're in the second earth heaven age now, as well as the second earth age. But if you don't understand that, put it on the shelf, no problem. But he had to return back, and we pick it up in chapter 14, verse 20. And verse 20, with that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, they were in a circle around him. He rose up, divine intervention, okay, and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. In other words, the Father is in control, and the Father can do whatever he chooses to do. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, what was it? You know, it's important that you stay focused. What was it they preached about how Paul got knocked down, stoned? No. They preached the gospel to that city. That is to say, the Word of God, the good news. And had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And they're making that circuit, and they're keeping that word flowing. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, students, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And certainly the millennium is coming. The kingdom is here already when you have Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, and you're with Him. And sometimes you have to separate yourself from the ways of the world, spiritually speaking. But yet at the same time, you must be in the world, because that's where our work is. That's where the lost are, and we were sent to the lost, not the saved, but the lost, whereby we could confirm, encourage, strengthen, and keep them, whereby they enter the kingdom of the living God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, appointed people to lead, and had prayed with fasting, they commended or turned over them to the Lord, on whom they believed. They did what? They believed. Believing is what it amounts to, my friend. You either believe or you don't. Well, I'll believe a little bit. No, you don't. You either believe or you do not. There's no partway faith with God. You either have faith or you don't. And so it is. Verse 24. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, which is to say Pitchy, they came to Pamphylia. And here this means of every tribe. 25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, that's earthy. What was it they preached? I know I'm overemphasizing perhaps, but it's important that you stay focused. They didn't preach about Uncle Sam. They didn't preach about this or they didn't preach about that. They preached the word of Almighty God. Okay. They went down into Attalia, which was named after a certain king there, Attalia. In verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. In other words, it was from here that in 13:2 the Holy Spirit spoke and sent them out, sent them on this mission, a divine mission. Not a mission decided upon by man, but a mission decided upon by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, did it say that Paul and Barnabas told them, said, look what we have done. We have converted all these people. Look at the churches we have established. That isn't what it says. That isn't what it says at all. And it's a dangerous thing if that's what you heard. They rehearsed all that God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, all that God had done with them. In other words, it was a divine mission. And you know something? Man can do nothing without God. That is to say, with the perfection, with the truth, and with the blessings of the living God. In other words, the Word, when it is taught properly, it's not a religion. It's a reality. And when these people believe and receive it, it brings blessings on them and their family. Oh, they'll still be, they're in a troubled world, but the blessings will outweigh the trouble. That makes it all worthwhile. But don't ever leave God out of the equation. Don't ever think man has done some great thing. It is God that does and accomplishes great things through men and women that are believers and dedicated and focused on the letter that God has sent us, as well as the unction and the touch of the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and directs. I know that some might think that I overemphasize that you must keep God in the equation. But it is important, beloved. Why? It's real simple. It is through Him that blessings flow. And if your blessings are cut off in this world, you are in a heap of hurt. Big time. So you must keep that avenue open that brings those blessings from Almighty God. Love and belief bring that to pass. And always give, when God accomplishes it, give God the credit. Verse 28. And there they abode long time with the disciples. They stayed there probably, some think, as much as 6 years in dispensations, be that as it may. Chapter 15. Here you're going to have a lesson in dissension in the church. You're always going to have it, but when God is there, it's a simple thing to take care of. You just don't put up. Always nip problems in the bud. Don't put up with it. Don't tolerate it. It injures a new innocent person that's trying to receive the Word of God. And if some old salt tries to wave or interrupt those waves of love and of order and discipline, then it causes much hurt. And the simplicity in which Christ taught must be adhered to and followed if you cloud it with things that are old and have been replaced by the blessings of God, then you hurt feelings. In this Acts of the Apostles, you have seen through Peter, back in chapter 10, where men were sent to his door that were out and out Gentiles, and from Cornelius. And Peter was made very clear by God himself, don't you dare call any man, Gentile or whoever, common if they're a believer. You will respect them. You know, you may call food unclean, but don't call man, allos in the Greek tongue, of another race. Don't call them common if they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a Christ man or a Christian. But here we know that that door was opened by God himself. So don't let some legalist try to close it. Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, I mean, you know, they can make a pretty strong case because Moses, because he had not circumcised two of his children, his male children, on the way back to free the Israelites, God almost threatened to kill him. Which, I mean, it upset the wife considerably. And so circumcision was a very important thing at that time. However, when Christ died on the cross, his blood sacrifice ended all blood sacrifice, even circumcision, for one and all time, if you're doing it for a religious or spiritual reason. Because blood circumcision is no longer, I mean, for hygiene, hey, no problem. If that's what you want to do, good. But don't do it for spiritual reasons, because circumcision now, in the Christian way, is of the heart. And it applies to both male and female. But here you have these characters. Usually they're called legalists, because they're going by the old law. And they can't turn loose of it. They don't realize that it was nailed to the cross with Christ. Colossians chapter 2 wipes out all the confusion. If you simply listen to the simplicity in which your Father leads you in that second chapter of Colossians. But here they come. And if you have a new group of people and you got some old salt teachers that come in playing religion or church, it can be trouble. Verse 2. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Let's work this out. Now, we have always been told, like in Galatians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, you're going to have men of false teachers that will slip in unawares if you let them. Well, how can they claim they were of God? Claiming doesn't cut it, friend. Anytime they change the word of God and teach it other than it is written, you've got a false teacher. And they can do much harm to a group, a ministry, because God will not, listen to me, God will not bless falseness. He abhors it. He, even as far as hates it. And you might say, well, I didn't know God could hate. Then you've never studied God's word. Because God even hated little old Esau while he was still in the mother's womb because of his disregard for God's law and word and heritage. But they decided, let's go up, and for one and all times, let's have this out. Let's solve this situation. Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, that's to say the palm, and Samaria, where the 10 tribes were, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. They were teaching it. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. That is to say, the Gentiles that were among them. That here, God, Christ had opened up salvation to them, if they would believe. This is was the message that God worked through Peter, not only Paul, although Paul's mission in chapter 9 of this great book, verse 15, Paul's mission was a threefold mission, and one of the missions was to the Gentiles. Well, why would the word be withheld for them when Paul was sent to them by God himself? And also, Peter was sent to them. And let there be no miracle in the book of Amos, the book of Isaiah, in many books, God has already declared that he was going to open salvation up to the Gentile, that is to say, the nations, in even the Hebrew manuscripts. So, next verse, please. Verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. They got an audience. And of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And this would be all those events. The words of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. If we're going to have Gentiles in here, they're going to follow the law of Moses and they're going to be circumcised. This is false. That is a false statement. And do you understand that it says there are those that believed? Believed what? You have to learn to question things. What did they believe? It certainly wasn't the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Pharisees even believe in life after death. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, I mean, it got a little warm, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, Acts chapter 10, got it, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now absorb that they should hear what? That they should hear Peter, that they should hear Paul? No, they should hear the word of God and believe, for belief brings blessings. 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, he knows your mind, he can read your mind, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. We heard them speak in that Pentecostal tongue, which went out in every direction, not unknown, but clearly in every language of the world all at one time, which only the Holy Spirit can do. We heard it come forth from the mouth of those Gentiles, documenting that God, that number one, they had believed, and number two, God had sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was speaking through them. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. By what was that now? By faith. Faith in earnest expectation and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the touch of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, the students, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? You want to hang the old law on them, and not one of us could follow it to the letter. We failed every time. And here we have salvation by faith and belief and repentance for our sins and a clean start. Why would you want to saddle them with the old law, which is almost, it's good because it keeps you out of trouble, but to go by its penalties would not be right when Christ died on the cross to bring that forgiveness and repentance of sin And then he said, what? I don't want to hear about it again. It's erased out of the book of life. Your righteous acts are still there, and righteous acts will cover a multitude of sin and bring the blessings of the living God. It's not fair to saddle them up with what we have shed. Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Even as the Gentile. We and they both will be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace being an unmerited favor. That is to say, the love he bestows upon us when we love him. That's called belief and faith in him. 12. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Now, Paul and Barnabas did all these miracles. I'm going to do it to you again. That's not what it said. What it said was that God had wrought them. Paul and Barnabas were sent there by the Holy Spirit on a mission, divine mission. But it was God that wrought the miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to disappoint yourself real quick, try to make something more out of yourself than you are. And try to start ordering God around rather than following him. And you'll be one disappointed, sad puppy. All right? Because you must understand, it is God that works the miracles. All you can do is petition him and love him enough that whatever he decides, it's good enough. Because that's what's best for you. What God decides, he knows your heart, he knows he can read your mind. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring to keep you out of trouble. And what he decides for you, if you're a sacred, honest follower, he's going to take care of you. He'll answer that in the way that it should be. But it wasn't man, it wasn't Paul and Barnabas that worked these miracles. It was God that wrought them. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. This is James the Less. He said, listen to me. 14. Simeon hath declared now, God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people, Simon that is, people for his name. It was declared. And that was in Luke 1:68-15. And to this degree the words of the prophets. I mean, it's also written in the Old Testament, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. You know, where was this written? Listen to me. 17. That the residue of men, that's the remnant, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, there it is, by name in the Old Testament, in Amos chapter 9, upon whom my name is called. In other words, if they're calling on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're calling on the Holy Spirit, if they're calling on the living God, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. In other words, it is God that does it. Who would want to argue with him? What kind of person would you be if you argued with God and tried to withhold salvation from whomsoever will? You would not get very far. And God would let you know it right real quick like. Verse 18. Knowing unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knew what it was coming out the gate. He knew how it was going down, how his plan would work. How people adhere to it is their business. But God has this plan. It is written. 19. Wherefore, my sentence, or this is my judgment on this matter. My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. With what? With the Mosaic law. We don't trouble them with that. What do we do then? Verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. They're not going to worship anyone but God. And from fornication. And from things strangled. And from blood. In other words, they do, if they're going to be Christian, they must go by the health laws. And it's I'll use the chicken. When you prepare meat for food, you wring its neck and let it bleed itself so that the blood is drained from the animal, properly slaughtered, whereby it does not putrefy, and that is good food turned bad because of improper dressing or preparation, slaughter, in preparing the food. You do not eat the blood. You drain the blood from whatever the animal is, and whereby it does not putrefy, whereby the meat is edible and will keep. Otherwise, you're going to be one sick puppy. You're going to eat polluted food, and it's there's a reason for all God's advice, and health is what the latter part of this pertain to. A lot of people take this way too far, and they'll even go as far as say, well, then you couldn't get a blood transfusion. Absolutely not what it's talking about. Absolutely not. It has to do with food and food only. There are many of our servicemen, if it weren't for transfusions, would not be with us. Verse 21, and besides, verse 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. It's preached, that Moses' law. 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, that's to say the son of the Sabbath being translated, and Silas, being Woody, chief men among the brethren. And here we are, we're going to send a little more horsepower along here to assist. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. This is how they did it. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. We're writing this with these instructions, 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We didn't send them. They came on their own. They're a bunch of legalists trying to make a name for themselves. Don't listen to them. 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, we were all in agreement, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're bold, straightforward, and they will stick to the word of God. 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Orally, they're going to teach you this, to you this. 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. We're not going to lay any more of the law on you than that. Listen, this does not release Israel from the very commandments of the living word as far as destiny and predestination go, but is the free will opened up to Gentiles who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Or goodbye. This is enough to do this. Now, this to abstain from meats offered to idols is if a weak person is around. If there is not a weak person around, and if you are working on a group of non-believers and they have sacrificed a ribeye steak to a stick post sitting over there, which is nothing. Okay, stick post is a chunk of wood. There's no such thing as an idol or a false god. We have only one. In their minds, it can make that. But the thing is a believer knows there are no idols. Therefore, the steak being offered to them does not harm the steak one iota because they don't really exist. But if a person, a new person that is weak, by weak I mean not solid in the Word of God whereby it might offend them, then don't do it. Why? Well, because our purpose is to take those that are unlearned and bring them into knowledge. And if you do something that offends that little one, then you've harmed the Word of God in its action and in its efforts to convert or to bring that weak one or new one into the fold of God. So, therefore, you abstain from anything that might offend someone else, even though you know the idol doesn't exist and it wouldn't harm the steak one iota. But if it offends a little one, you don't touch it. Okay. And so here we go with the Gentile being brought into the love of the living God, which they're His children. You know, when you go all the way back to the very first chapter in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, on the sixth day, God created the Gentile, the ethnos, and He all the races. And He looked, and it was good. He loves His children. I don't care who you are. And here salvation was open to them. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge, and it's our Heavenly Father. He can take care of that. He does not need our help. You just keep busy staying focused and doing His work and loving Him as He loves you, and you'll do just fine. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? Your Father knows what you're thinking right now. He does. You're His child, and He loves you. Your DNA is different than anyone else's. He created you unique because He wanted someone just like you. But He does want you to love Him. He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but He loves you. So repent and let him know you love him and invite him into your life and you into his. Won't you do that, Father? Around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, and we go right into questions. Charles from Missouri. I love him, and I find myself at times reading my Bible and falling asleep peacefully. Why is this? I don't mean any disrespect to the Father, nor would he take it. That is good. Why? Because God is the author of peace, not confusion. And when you read of that peace, it's restful. And even the word Sabbath itself means rest. And when you have peace of mind, you can rest in him. There, it is not a sin to go to sleep while you're praying or studying the Word of God. Don't you ever apologize for it. He loves you. Barbara from Missouri. Can you please explain how Joshua made the sun stand still? Because that seems impossible, but I guess God can do anything. Please explain. You answered it yourself. Okay. You answered your own question. Joshua didn't do it. Joshua did not make the sun stand still. God did. And all things are possible with God. What was God's message? You know, you can really understand why he did it, probably more likely from reading the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where it is stipulated there, we are children of light, don't you ever go into the night, the darkness. And so that we could have the victory, God made the day continue. And as long as you are an observer of the day, a child of light, this is why Christians should always use the solar calendar, not the lunar. And that solar calendar, why? Because you are children of light. It was God that did it, and it's his way of saying, you stay in me and you stay in the light, and you will always have the victory. We do, because Satan runs from us when you practice the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Margaret from Washington. I'm a faithful listener. Well, bless you. I have a question about the Kenites and their entrance into babies' bodies. You say that all souls have lived in a previous earth age and enter into babies born. Is it true that some are born with Kenite souls? Well, all souls are God's children. But whatever we did in the first earth age, that's what you're born into here. But you know what the beauty is? That even a Kenite, if they love the Lord Jesus Christ, they can improve and rise out of it and become a child of God instead of a child of Cain. That's what the word Kenite means in the Hebrew tongue, is child of Cain, offspring of Cain. It's a race of people. But they also, salvation is whomsoever will, that is a believer. Even they can do that. So, God is always totally, completely fair. Though it may seem like at times he isn't, it just means you don't clearly understand. But he always leaves us that hope and that way of finding your way into the light and into eternal life. Carol from Missouri. If all are back to their original state as they were in the first earth age, why do we need the 1,000 years if all are in the spirit dimension? When in spirit, won't the events of rebellion and God's plan of salvation be known? Of course it will, but you're missing the mark, okay? I want you to make a note of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning with verse 50, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? It's a different dimension. But at the last trump, we are all changed into spiritual bodies. True enough. But there's more to it. So this is where you stop short. This mortal must put on immortality. That's talking about souls. A lot of people will have a spiritual body for judgment and the 1,000-year reign, but they will still have a mortal soul. Mortal in the Greek tongue means liable to die, meaning liable to be judged to hell yet. So they'll be in spiritual bodies, but they're in a heap of hurt because they're still in a liable to die soul. That's what it's all about. God doesn't give anything away from free. Just because they're in spiritual bodies means they can last 1,000 years to hopefully repent and change. If not, hey, it's all over. Diana from Arkansas, when we change from our flesh bodies into our spiritual bodies, when Jesus comes, will we also change into a different dimension, or will that happen after the 1,000-year millennium that we are in different... It happens in the spiritual body. It is a different dimension. What happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign, the millennium, is the earth itself changes. The firmament goes back where it was originally. And this earth is put back as it was in the first earth age and better. Melba from Georgia. Where can I find the scriptures where Satan told God that he was walking to and fro on the earth? Book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, if I remember properly. It was the day that all the angels, including the archangels, were to make an appearance before God. And God asked Satan, well, what you been doing? He said, been walking to and fro on the earth, back and forth, getting into trouble when I can, and so forth. Spiritually, he can still do that. Physically, he cannot until Michael kicks him out. Only his evil spirit can be here now, because Christ said, behind me and stay. And that's where he is, as Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 so declare. But he's coming back at the sixth trump to deceive all that have not read the letter God sent to us, telling us what we should do at that time. Joshua from California is a young boy. If you were cursed, can the curse be lifted? As a Christian, there's no such thing as a curse being placed on you. It would ricochet away like a stone cast at you. Okay? We don't have to put up with that kind of stuff. So don't let somebody tell you that they can place a curse on you. You tell them you're a Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ has given you power in the name of Jesus Christ spiritually over all your enemies. And make a note of Luke chapter 10 verses 18 and 19. That's where it happens, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians cannot be cursed. Let me rephrase that a little bit. True Christians cannot be cursed. Tony from Arizona. When we pray to God, is Jesus God? Who are we supposed to pray to? Well, you know, Christ taught us all things. What did he say in Matthew chapter 6? They asked him, how should we pray? And he said, this is the way you do it. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his kingdom is going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And heaven is wherever he is. So you always pray to the Father. But you ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, which gives credentials that you're a believer. That gets your prayer recognized and answered and logged. God will answer it, because he loves you as to what is best for you. Judy from Georgia, what does the Bible say about cremation? The Bible states that when we are through with these flesh bodies, they go back to dust. Doesn't matter how they get there. I want you to make a note of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. I'm going to say it again. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. Which approves of cremation. Marvin from Minnesota. In Ezekiel, who is Gog and Magog? Go back to Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 and 3. The chief prince, Meshach. Chief prince is Rosh, R-O-S-H, in the Hebrew manuscripts, which later by the Vulgar would be called Rush, R-U-S-S, and today is Russia. So Gog and Magog are places in Russia itself, in the North Country. Randall from New Mexico. What does caught up mean in Thessalonians? It means exactly that, that at the seventh trump and not until, you are changed into a higher level of being, meaning a spiritual body. The word heir, as it is utilized, has nothing to do. It's the Greek 109 in your Greek dictionary, Strong's Concordance. It means breath of life. It means your spiritual body, not atmosphere. It means you're changed into a spiritual body. Michael from Nevada, how can I be saved? How can I be sure I have eternal salvation? Well, John 3:16, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, only one, that whomsoever would believe upon him, that is the requirement, believe on him, should not perish, meaning you're saved, and are given. The word is eternal, everlasting, but it means more than that. It means from the time you were created in the first earth age to the very eternity itself. There's never any point that you stop existing when you believe on him. Why? Well, because God is the God of the living, not the dead. And so it is. Read the last four verses of St. John chapter 8. Sue from Kentucky. Pastor Murray, can you tell me what is the correct way to pray? I pray to God every night, but I feel like I repeat myself. Well, it's okay to repeat a prayer if you're still asking for it, but you simply talk to him, just like you would to anyone else. God is very intelligent, and he wants you to talk to him. Don't make some ritual out of praying that you go into some kind of dialogue. Visit with him. That's what prayer is. Let him know you love him and that you appreciate him. And if there's something that you're praying for, it doesn't hurt every once in a while if you're praying for peace and he's given it to you. Thank him for it. He so very much enjoys people thanking him for being there for them. You know, too many people, it's always gimme, 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 gimme. It's never, Father, I love you and I thank you for the blessings you've given me. That makes his day. So you just talk to him, and you know something? You're natural. He is supernatural, meaning he's more natural. You like it when people tell you they love you. You like it when people appreciate what you do for them. Well, so does he. So don't think you're repeating. Just talk to him. Have a good, nice dialogue with him. And always do it in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Monty from Tennessee. My nephew has passed away, and his organs were donated to cancer research, and his body was cremated. Do you think this was right? If that was his request, it was right. That's what he wanted, and so it is. Perhaps some blind person now has sight, and so on and so forth. It was a gift that he wanted them to have. And he's in his new spiritual body in paradise. How blessed it is. There's nothing at all wrong with cremation. Many people, and with the economy being what it is, it's the wise thing to do in many cases because it's a lot less expensive. A cremation is, and so forth, rather than a funeral service that could run into the thousands of dollars. Dan from Georgia. Pastor Murray, if the scriptures say the soul that sinneth will die, how is it that people preach that your soul will go to heaven or hell? Well, you're judged, and judged fairly and accurately. If you're a sinner and repent, you're not going to die. So, therefore, that's up to you. It isn't, God doesn't get up every morning and look for somebody to zap. Like, I wonder how many I can zap today and make the world a happy place. Well, God is long-suffering, meaning he's got lots of patience. And I'm quoting from 2 Peter chapter 3 along about verse 7 or 8. He's long-suffering. And it is His will that all come to repentance. When you repent, those sins are washed. They're gone. They don't exist. And He says, don't ever talk to me about it again. Okay, don't forget. But whether you go to heaven or hell is your choice, not God's. Okay, because you're going to get what you deserve. He's always fair. So you do what's right, and you're heaven bound. You do what's wrong, and I don't have to tell you. Lyle from Utah. Pastor Murray, we appreciate all you do. Well, thank you. We really need you. Thank you. My question is, if we all have one chance during the millennium, why should I go out and try to convert my friends? Would it be easier for them to be converted in the millennium than by someone like me? No, you have to follow. If they are converted here, then they are resurrected with an immortal soul instead of a mortal soul. If they come to you and ask a question, you must answer it, okay, to the best of your ability concerning God's Word. It doesn't mean you've got to go out and start preaching if you don't feel led to. Doesn't mean you go out passing out tracts. You just live what you're living, and when a person sees you're blessed, they're gonna come to you with questions. All right, that's all it's required for you to do. You see, Christians that know the truth have a great destiny just ahead, a purpose and a destiny to witness against the false Christ. It's got to be done, and it is a great, great service to the people of the world and to the living God. So every Christian should look forward to that point. And then, you know, pass on truths if it becomes available, proper, and without offending someone. Always protect your credibility. Charles from Michigan. What is the correct name of God? Well, Moses had this problem. He said, you're wanting me to go down there and give them these laws. Now, who am I going to tell them sent me? I mean, he had seen God, and he'd seen the burning bush, and he knew the power. He said, who am I going to tell them? He said, I am that I am. That's Iyah Asha Iyah, which is, the etymology of that is YHVH. And when you add the vowel that is Yahweh, how can I say for sure it is Yahweh? Because in the manuscripts in the book of Esther, as well as in the book of Psalms, the correct spelling of the sacred name is locked in acrostics, whereby man cannot change them. And it is not YHWH, because the lock in is the word and. And no way can you pronounce beh, wah. It's beh. YHVH is the correct way. Okay. It's real easy to check the manuscripts if you have a companion Bible. Diane from, I don't know where Diane's from. Can someone lose their salvation? Absolutely. God will never leave you, and He will never forsake you, but you can sure leave Him. And a lot of people do. That's strictly a choice of the individual. You know, the salvation is always there. And all you have to do is repent and mean it and be back in good standing. Why? He paid an awesome price on the cross for that to be a fact. But you've got to repent. And if you don't, you can drift away and drift away until you have so many negatives in the book of life that, and God always judges fair. Now, if God judges fair and all you got is a bunch of negatives, guess where you're going? Do you know why? Because we do not want somebody that all they can do is negative stuff with us in the eternity. We want peace. We want people that love God without any hang-ups. And all those people that have those hang-ups that are all negative, they're out of here. And Father's very fair. You see, we don't want them there. God doesn't want them there. So it's kind of a soul-searching thing. You want to be wanted and needed and loved by the living God and know that you have eternal life secured. Why? Well, it's real simple. You're his child and he loves you, but he doesn't put up with nonsense. Paul from California, do you really have the power to command angels? Well, you don't. But in the name of Jesus Christ, he does. And you're a child of his. But you must know how to use that power. And, I mean, if you go out by your own self and say, demon, get out, he's going to eat you up. He's going to chew on you until you wish you hadn't existed. But when, in the name of Jesus Christ, you order them out, they're gone. They're afraid of you. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, you know what? God loves you for it. It makes his day because you're studying the letter he sent to you, his child, to do what's right and what is pleasing to him. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, and only if we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. You can count on it. But there's one thing most important. Listen to me good now. You stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here.